This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, real quick. Texter, can you guys remind me the name of the water polo tight end? That would be Kahale Waring. Texter says we can't be wasting draft picks on those kinds of guys. Yes, they can't be wasting draft picks on bad football players, the Texans.
Well, okay. Now, he was a fourth-round pick. Third-round pick.
Yeah, he was a third-round pick.
Yeah, that was a wasted pick. That was upside and potential for a guy that had transitioned from water polo to college football and had a whole lot of upside. Real good physique. Looked good in a water polo uniform more so than a football uniform,
I would guess. You could have created an army of Kahale Warings, we could take over the world from Houston, Texas, you know?
A third-round pick has about a 33% chance of becoming a consistent starter, so it's hard. Third round is where you start to get into. There's no such thing as a third round bust.
Yeah.
The Texans for years, what made it frustrating with Kahale Waring is for years they were not hitting on their third round picks. It was very, very frustrating. And it got to the point where it seemed like all of them were third rounders who were really physically gifted, but just didn't seem like they actually cared for football all that much.
It was frustrating.
But in any given year, it's hard to say a third rounder is a bust because it's a crapshoot by the time. And then especially in the fourth round.
He was a bust. I mean, remember when he got cut, he got let go from here, and he wound up on like four different teams in like 13 days? There were literally three teams that brought him in and cut him like 2 days later.
But it's still not a bust. Like, there's almost nothing that can make a third rounder a bust. There's just no, the odds are against you with any third rounder.
I'm not here to debate the semantics of what's the definition of a bust.
Because you're going to lose.
I'm merely pointing out the fact that, like, he was an extreme, did not work out. Nobody saw value enough to keep him in the building for more than a week after he was let go from here. Like, it was just, it's crazy. No, I get what you're saying. Like, third round, if he was a first round pick, that's a bust for sure. Here's Joe Espada, Astros manager. He's happy for Alex Bregman and his newfound wealth.
I'm happy for Alex. I know the news are not official yet, but I'm happy for him. He made his decision. So now it's time for all of us just to move forward and turn the page.
Yeah, that's true. He's not here anymore, man. Now Dana Brown seemed a little more salty when was asked about Bregman stuff. Here was Dana Brown. We just got three Dana Brown cuts here that'll take a total of about 40 seconds. He was asked about Bregman's deal. What do you think?
I've heard about it. I don't think it's official yet, but I won't comment on that.
Okay, but give us something, though, Dana. Give us something here.
If it's true, I'm happy for Bregman. You know, he had a great run here. That's all pretty much I can say about it.
All right. Okay. So that's all you can say about it. But how engaged were you with Bregman at the end of these negotiations?
You know, as I said before, you know, we've had a lot of internal discussions, and I'll leave it at that.
How engaged was Jim?
Like I said, I'll leave it at that.
How engaged was Jim? Was that question? I think I might have been Chandler asking that.
I think Dana Brown, I don't think he's ever going to get caught with any kind of a tampering or any kind of CBA violation. He's very, very careful about what he can and can't say, what he's allowed to say. I wonder if he rubbed up against it and got a warning or something at some point previously.
I would doubt that only because he hasn't been in a real front-facing position like this before where he would be available to comment like that.
He's almost like a more understated Baghdad Bob. Like Bregman's going to be in Boston, you know, making promises about winning a championship and everything. And Dana's like, well, no, the fight is not over.
Yes.
We are still potentially going to possibly sign Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Baghdad Bob. Remember that guy?
Kids, Baghdad Bob was a guy that in Desert Storm in the first Gulf War, as Americans were actively taking over Baghdad, a spokesperson for the Iraqi government, Baghdad Bob, was insisting that they were winning the war.
Yeah, all is well. What a time, man.
That war lasted all of about 3 hours.
What a time.
And Baghdad Bob was insisting that everything was going great.
He was like
Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House.
Right. Remain calm, all is well, while you're getting steamrolled by civilians. Yeah, man, it's a little sad that social media was not around for Baghdad Bob.
He still pops up in a GIF every now and then.
Yeah, but I mean, like in the moment when he's doing his thing, man, like that was something else.
Hey, by the way, in terms of the pronunciation of GIF or JIF, one of our listeners pointed out that the guy who invented the GIF does pronounce it JIF. So. Yeah,
I think
he's wrong. I think he's a classic, one of these computer nerds that it's good at the math, but awful at the verbal.
Because the G stands for graphic, right?
Right.
Okay. I've used
Brilliant
both.
Mathematician, doesn't do acronyms all that well. That's all.
I've used both, but I used GIF that one day, and you were all up in my business, man. Like, you were defending the honor of the pronunciation of the GIF. I'm just joking.
You might be right about Kahale Waring being a bust. Yeah, 7 total targets in his career. That's a higher. All right. I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
And they all came in his rookie season. In a 4-year career, or no, I'm sorry, in a 2-year career, he had 7 total targets.
Targets, not even catches. Yeah. Like,
well, 3 receptions.
Oh, wow. A 42% catch rate.
Yeah.
Caught a few of them. Oh, man.
Hey, 11.7 yards per reception. That's good for a tight end.
Okay, for tight end. Yeah, that's, boy, he was really stretching the field on those three catches. I'm a little upset with Chandler Rome, Seth, and it's over a Bregman thing. And ironically, this was not even something I discovered on my own by reading Chandler's stuff on The Athletic, which I do. I think Chandler does a great job covering the Astros. Let me say that. I think he's excellent. I think he's done a good job reporting things. Like, he's gotten into that breaking news realm as well. He was the one that broke the Bregman news. All the big nugget hussies in baseball had to cite at @Chandler_Rome or whatever his X handle is. He's doing a great job. However, in this particular article, which he wrote earlier this week, and it's sort of a history of Alex Bregman with the Astros and exactly what we're going to be missing. He cited a story, an anecdote, from back in July of 2016 when Alex Bregman was a guest on The Triple Threat starring Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, and Ted Johnson. When we had Bregman on our show, he was in AAA at the time, and he was killing it. He destroyed AA for a few weeks, was killing it in AAA, and he was... It was very evident he was going to get a call up pretty soon. For whatever reason, the Astros gave him to us to do an interview. We're really happy about it. You know, I think we probably asked for it. And that, you got to keep in mind, that was still at a stage where the Astros had not won a World Series yet. If you go back and listen to 610 in like the 2014 through 2016 days, we got a lot of Astro guests because they were still kind of climbing back onto the radar at that point.
Yeah, you know? Want them, you got them. There you go.
We had Altuve on a few times. Like, now it's a lot tougher if you're not the flagship. But at any rate, so in that interview, I asked Bregman towards the end of the interview, hey, when you were a kid growing up, you're a real baseball junkie. When you were a kid growing up and you dreamt of your first at-bat in the big leagues, who did you envision it being against? And I was expecting him to say, you know, Justin Verlander or, you know, Randy Johnson.
Find out later his mom was a Yankees fan or,
just who did you dream about? See, you know, everybody's got that dream. You're standing in the batter's box. Who was pitching to you? And his answer was interesting because he goes, I don't know, but they're probably wearing a gray and red uniform.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, and I pull up the schedule and I'm looking, I hit mute to Rich and Ted. I'm like, they play the Angels this coming weekend. I think he's telling us this is when he's getting the call up. And yeah. And that kind of was what he was implying with that answer. We didn't think it would turn into a big deal or anything like that. We talked about it for a little bit after we got done with him and whatnot. Yada, yada, yada. He doesn't get called up till the following week to face off against the Yankees. And at that point, the rumor had been that him being so cocky and brash on our show about when he was getting called up, that this was sort of a like a Belichick-type punishment. Like, oh, you're going to tell us when you're coming up. Okay.
Like, yeah, yeah. Or you're giving away information. Like, even before you're actually here, you're giving up information about what our lineup's going to be. Yeah.
Right, right. So that's the anecdote. And it was one of the better moments on our show back then on the Triple Threat. So Chandler Rome, the very first paragraph on this story that he's doing about Bregman, says, on July 19th, 2016, a cocksure, can't-miss prospect phoned a Houston sports radio station. That radio station was Sports Radio 610, man. How hard is it?
Yeah.
It's fewer letters and numbers to type Sports Radio 610 than a Houston sports radio station. The Astros, I'm continuing, the Astros sat amid a slog of a season, staggered by a 17-28 start, yet still within striking distance in the AL West. Summoning a spark seemed logical, so Bregman lit the fuse. Toward the end of Bregman's interview, hosts asked him to envision the pitcher against whom he may make his major league debut. The three of us did not ask the question like a barbershop quartet.
Yeah. Well,
there was one host asking the question, and his name was Sean T. Pendergast, all right?
Oh, okay.
So, and I'm being a little selfish right now, but yes, it was me. Now,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's funny about this is, you know who was most agitated by Chandler not citing the station or the hosts by name?
Yeah, who was it?
Rich Lord, who texted me about this yesterday.
Hey, did you guys hear?
Rich
I'm impressed that Rich is still paying for a subscription to The Athletic.
Sports fan?
I know, but he's staying it tough. It's not as expensive as it used to be, but it's still, you're plunking down money for a pay site for their quality content.
It's a great value. The Athletic would be one of the... If I had to cancel all my subscriptions...
It's a great value unless you're worried about proper citations.
Thank you, Seth. That's right. I do have the opportunity to cancel my subscription.
I'm just glad that he didn't phrase it. A sports radio, which was not one of four other sports radio stations and 978 that are here. This was a sports radio station.
Yeah.
He didn't put it as obtusely as sometimes he puts his various rankings.
Okay, yeah, he does. He gets a little wordy. Okay, do you think so? That begs the question: do you think? Because I think overall, like Chandler, I think Chandler does a really good job covering the Astros. But sometimes you and I kind of poke fun at how he frames really numeric type of things. Like instead of
and it's
saying
mostly, it's mostly because it's usually me at 4 a.m. trying to figure out. Like, okay, he'll say like, well, the Astros woke up this morning with the six teams having a worse ERA than they have in the bullpen of the pitchers who aren't pitching in the first six innings.
Instead of saying, tell me that
the bullpen is the seventh worst in the last couple weeks.
Instead of saying, as of Tuesday, they're 23rd in bullpen ERA, right?
Yeah.
It's 3 cents. So we poke fun at him for that. Amidst saying he's excellent at his job, do you think? Well, we'll get to ask him. I'm going to ask him when we go to West Palm Beach. Hey, man,
why'd you know? No, this is where I stand on this. Like earlier, I cited some stat that Matt Kawahara from the Chronicle had put in the paper, and I forgot to say Matt Kawahara.
He's their Astros beat writer for those.
Yeah. I think I just I don't worry that much about it because I screw it up myself. You're very good about it. I can see you getting pissy about this because you are annoyingly
citation guy.
Yeah, it's like you'll sit there and be like, oh, hold on a second. Let me look up this name of this Seattle Mariners Bleacher Report writer. Hold on. It's only going to take 45 seconds. I want to be sure that this blogger gets his due on Houston Sports Radio. Yes. I'm like, Sean, okay. I don't care. He doesn't care. Nobody cares. Okay. Read the damn quote.
I am like that. You're right. Usually it's when it's national podcasts playing audio, where we play audio from. But you are right.
But you're not a hypocrite about this.
No. Exactly.
It almost does feel the fact that he mentions the sports radio station several times without ever just slumming down to go down into the, you know, talk radio. These writers all love to believe that somehow they're the bastion of all that's pure in sports reporting. As they, you know, they've completely abandoned citing two sources for anything. But they're the ones that are they hold the flag for integrity in journalism, not those blowhards on radio that just talk out their wazoos all day.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry you weren't born with a personality, Mr. Sports Writer. Yeah.
Yes. Am I a bad team player that I'm more agitated with the hosts asked him to envision the pitcher than I am him not citing the station?
As far as when it comes to the host, he might have gone back and listened to the interview, but not, you know, he doesn't know the voices or anything. So he has almost, he has to make the decision, like, all right, do I have to send this to somebody to figure out who this is asking the question?
I'm surprised
you might not know your voice.
I'm surprised you're not more agitated by this, because I feel like this is something that would be more up your alley than my alley. He says hosts asked him the question. That means that three hosts on the show were asking him this question. It's literally incorrect. In unison.
You guys did. You found it.
Right. No, I was the soprano, Rich was the baritone, and then Ted gave the real low baritone. We're like, oh, hey there, Alex. Did you envision a pitcher in gray and red? Yeah.
I don't know. You should ask the listeners on this one.
Yeah.
Put him on the Jim Adler text line. Is Sean being a little too prima donna-ish on this one?
If we're being honest, if we can just unpack these last 6 minutes, I'm really the only one that cares about this. The listeners don't. I'm the one looking for citation. I think you and everybody else are like, Sean, why are you pining so hard for this right now?
You know, somewhere when I was in high school, I had read something about, you know, not caring about getting credit for the things you've done. So I've always and maybe it's just because I'm lazy and I don't like having extra junk around the house. I really don't care about trophies or anything else like that. And I try not to care about people saying, like, whether or not people say nice things about me.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know, because your ego always wants to step in. So I try not to complain about not getting credit for things. I try to be a good, I don't know.
You don't complain about it. I don't know if you actually, inside you're
seething,
burning.
But my facade. No, I try real hard not to give a damn about it.
All right. We had five questions that we were looking for answers for in the Nick Caley, D'Amico Ryan's press conference. We laid them out yesterday. We even laid out how we thought they would answer them. How did they answer them? The five big questions from Payne and Pendergast we needed answers to. How did these guys do yesterday? Nick Cayley and D'Amico Ryans. We'll discuss that next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.